As an adjunct to our class on the Jewish home, we'll add two true stories. One I witnessed, the other one I heard. They're at the wedding, and we'll call her Chava, is the Kala. And the chasen has come and put the veil over her head, what we call the badekin, and he went out to the chuppah. He's already standing under the canopy, and everyone's singing there, waiting for Chava to get up and go to the chuppah. So they're dancing, and ordinarily after about 10 seconds, the kala gets up and goes to the chuppah. And here, a minute later, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, everyone's standing and dancing. And the kala, the bride, is sitting on her chair and praying fervently. And everyone's wondering, why isn't she getting up? So her friend, Bracha, leans over and says, Chava, what's doing? So Chava looks at her and says, Bracha, should I marry him or shouldn't I? So Bracha looks at her and says, of course you should marry him. He's amazing and you love him. Of course you should marry him. Chava says, thanks. And gets up and starts walking down the aisle to the chuppah. And Bracha takes a step back and says to herself, what did I just do? I just told her who she should marry. How could I do that? And Bracha watches as Chava walks down the aisle towards the chuppah. And she doesn't know what to do with herself. So she grabs her tehillim. She goes off to a corner and starts praying. She says, God in heaven, I don't know what I just did. Well, forgive me. How could I do this? And she starts praying. And she hears her go up to the chuppah. And they're singing as she surrounds the chasen 7 times. And she's praying her head away. And tears start streaming down Bracha's cheek as she hears, Hare at mekudeshet li, behold, you are betrothed to me. And everyone says, Mazel tov. She hears the glass breaking. And she's crying there, weeping. And Sheva Brachos. And she's praying. And they come out of the chuppah and they go back to the yichud room and everyone goes to the meal and Bracha stands in her corner praying away. 10 minutes pass, 15 minutes pass, and Chava comes out of the yichud room and she sees Bracha and Bracha's standing there. She musters a smile and Chava runs over to her and says, I don't know how to thank you. I had a moment of weakness and you were there for me. I don't even know how to thank you. And Chava's shining. She's radiant. And with that, Bracha can go back to the meal. And the way she sees her dancing the rest of the wedding, she knows she did the right thing. That's story number one. I was not there. I heard the story from my teacher when I became a groom. And he introduced me to the chasen classes with that important piece of information that it's normal for chasanim to have second thoughts. So that was the story he gave. And since then, I was once visiting a friend. I walk into his house and I see on the wall this huge picture of him and his wife standing in the chuppah. And he's walking out of the chuppah with this huge smile on his face. And we're standing there alone in the house and he says to me, you want to hear the story behind that picture? I say, only if I could tell other people the story. He says, fine, so long as you don't say my name, you could tell the story. Okay. What's the story? He comes under the chuppah, and they're going to bring the kala down. And as they're bringing the kala from her chair to the chuppah, he starts thinking to himself, what am I doing here? Why am I marrying her? I'm not even sure if this is right. And as he's thinking this, she's walking, and he looks up the aisle, and he sees her walking, and he starts thinking, maybe I could say I just have to go to the bathroom for a minute. Maybe I could run away from the chuppah. I need to think. And everyone's singing, and she's approaching, and he's thinking, how do I hit the pause button? Give me a minute. I just got to think. I'm not sure why I'm doing this. And he's trying to think, and he says to himself, you know, if I walk away from this now, It'll be a lot of embarrassment for her and me, but she's still a virgin, she's never divorced, she's never been married. Maybe that's the biggest favor I can do to her. What am I doing? I'm going to get married to her, and afterwards I'll have these second thoughts. Wait a second. And he's thinking, how do I stop this? She keeps coming down the aisle, and he's thinking, wait, hey, hello? And this is all going on in his mind, and he's watching as she's approaching, and he can't figure out, how does he stop this? He closes his eyes. He's standing there and he's thinking. And he says, look, I can't think straight. But let me ask myself one question. Is she a bad pick? No. Is she Mrs. Wright? I don't know. She's not a bad pick. We could make this work. If I had to choose someone who was not Mrs. Wright, I guess I'd choose her, right? I don't know if she's Mrs. Wright. But if she's not Mrs. Wright, she's an excellent second pick. I can make it work with her. He says, yeah, but do I want to go into marriage like that? And then he raises his eyes to heaven and he says, Ribbono shel Olam, if I walk away from this, I'm going to embarrass her in front of everyone. And if I stay here, I think I can make it work with her. I really think I can make it work with her. So I'm going to make this work. And if it was right or wrong, you know, but I'm not going to walk away and embarrass her. You know, all of the Jewish people till today are benefiting from the fact that Rachel wouldn't embarrass her sister Leah because she gave her the secret sign. So when Yaakov thinks he's marrying Rachel, he ends up marrying Leah, right? Yaakov made up a sign with Rachel. He told her the three mitzvos women have. And he figured that way he'd never be conned. And then in the last minute, Rachel says to herself, what's going to happen? They're going to come under the chuppah. Yaakov's going to ask for the signs. Leah won't know them. And then Yaakov's going to say, hold your horses, this isn't Rachel, I'm not marrying her. And then my sister will get all embarrassed. So Rachel gives away the secret to Leah. And till today, we benefit from that marriage. So the guy says to himself under the canopy, that was so as not to embarrass her. I'm not going to embarrass this girl. I can make it work with her. And he makes that decision, and he puts on a huge smile on his face, and it's all fake. That huge smile, you know, he's forcing that smile on his face, and he walks out of the chuppah towards the challah. And the photographer snaps a picture. So he says to me, you see that picture? That's my wife's favorite picture. She always tells people, you see how lucky he was to marry me? You see how happy he was to come out of the chuppah to marry me? So I blew it up big for her. But the truth is that when I was standing there, I couldn't think straight. And I suddenly got cold feet. I was standing there under the chuppah and I couldn't think straight. I couldn't decide if this was right or wrong. So, she loves that picture. And now you know the secret story behind that picture. So, why do I quote these two stories? Because I think it's important to know that even on the wedding day, even at the chuppah, it's normal for a person to be plagued by nerves. It's normal to have second thoughts. It's normal to find oneself saying, what am I doing here? That's normal. A person has to be able to overcome the fears and the nerves. And again, this happens within marriage too. How many times do I get a phone call where a couple says, we want to use birth control for the first year, or the first half a year, we just want to make sure it's right. But that's the same guy jumping off the diving board, leaving one foot on. You got engaged, you're getting married, you have to be willing to say, mind over matter, I'm going to make this work, this is right. Yes?
This is something that's never revealed between spouses, or is.
So that we will discuss next week, as Hashem. Remind me. That's an excellent question. Remind me, as Hashem, to discuss next week. I'll tell you the answer, but I want to elaborate on it next week. So please remind me. I recommend not bringing this up between spouses, but we will understand better next week and following weeks. I'll just say it in a nutshell. Number one, you're always looking to strengthen your connection, to strengthen that feeling that she's the most important person in your life, and to strengthen her notion of that. So this would be counter, that would be the antithetical to this. And number two is that you never want to give her room to think that you're having second thoughts. Even if you are having second thoughts, next week we'll discuss how detrimental that can be to a marriage. So from both fronts, for the positive and to avoid the negative, I don't think this should be shared. No. I don't think anything good can come of it, and I think a lot of bad can come of it.